Please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the 15th chapter. And if you're using a Scofield Bible, page 1021-020, beginning with the 21st verse, we'll read responsively through verse 28. Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28, and these verses we'll read responsively. And may we stand, please, for the reading of this passage. The 23rd verse is the text verse. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And let's pray. And Father, it's certainly a wonderful privilege and joy to be here tonight to anticipate the preaching, and that's just what it's all about, the preaching of thy word and the hearing of it by these who come from many places over many miles to hear the preaching. Bless it, we pray, our preacher, and help us in the hearing of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Beautiful. Our Father, here we are again, same preacher, same people, starting our 28th year together. Needy, yes. Undeserving, oh yes. Sinners, sure. Sincere, though. We want to do what's right. We don't always do it, but we want to. We're sorry if we don't. And we want some truth that'll help us to do more right, and do right more. May tonight truths help us to do so. Dear Lord, we're down here on this earth, this little ball going around in space, and we don't know much about it. We have doubts and fears, all of us do. I pray that at least some of those doubts and fears should be alleviated tonight. Accomplish thy will now in these moments for us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak tonight on the subject, when God doesn't speak. When God doesn't speak. Our text tonight is that passage that was read a while ago, Matthew 15, 23, that one little line where Jesus said, where it is said, and he answered her not a word. I asked Brother Colson in the office a while ago, I was giving the scripture reference in the office, and often I have him to read it just to be sure it's the right one. I said, Brother John, read that to me, and he got down to that part, and he answered her not a word. Brother O'Clare said, that's the story of my marriage. He said, in fact, that's my last verse. And so forth. And he answered her not a word. Brother O'Clare's not as dumb as he looks, I'll guarantee you for sure. And we're grateful for that. But I'm going to keep on to your life. I don't care what I've got to do. I'm going to keep on shooting at them and shooting them out to your life. But I'm sure you've oftentimes want to look up at God and you want to say, talk to me. Say something to me. There's nothing quite like the silent treatment. I'm sure that none of you men here have ever gotten that from your wives, but down in Arkansas, some of the wives do that. But there's nothing worse. I'm sure I've heard than the silent treatment. And you fellows who You saw, many of you have heard of the same thing, not the seeing of the eye, the hearing of the ear, but you've never about it and read about it. Now I want to talk to you tonight on the subject when God doesn't speak. You know, have I prayed yet? I'm only sure I get the Lord in this. I've done it both ways. I like it better when he comes. But there are the times when we feel like God is silent. There are at least three times in the Bible when such is the case. I call your attention, without even looking at it, I call your attention, of course, to the story about which you read tonight. This lady that came to Jesus and she begged him to help her. And the Bible simply says, and he answered her not a word. Then there's the story about the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. And, of course, the Pharisees were ready to stone her. And Jesus said, before he said anything, he just was quiet, reached down and wrote in the sand. Just wrote in the sand. And then they began to question him. And he said, whichever one of you is qualified to cast the first stone, go ahead and do it. And nobody did it because nobody was qualified, of course. But that was a moment of silence. And then, of course, the 53rd of Isaiah prophesied concerning his trial and death when he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, a sheep before his shearers is dumb. When he was before Pilate, he did not open his mouth when he was being tried. Now, there's several reasons why God doesn't speak. One of the tragic things is if we feel that God isn't speaking to us, we somehow feel he's forsaken us and misunderstand the motive behind God's not speaking. I want to call your attention tonight six times that God does not speak. Number one, God does not speak when he's already spoken. God does not speak when he's already spoken. If it's in the book, he doesn't have to speak. It's already been said. God doesn't have to tell you to do what he tells you to do in the book. You don't have to feel led to go soul winning. It's in the book. You don't have to feel led to be clean. It's in the book. You don't have to feel led to be honest. It's in the book. You don't have to be led to tell the truth. It's in the book. You don't have to be led to tithe. It's in the book. Somebody said, Brother House, I haven't been led to tithe. That shows you haven't read your Bible because you are led to tithe. I'm saying God doesn't have to tell you, speak to you, in any other way when God's already spoken in his book. God is simply saying, I've already said it. God does not speak when he has already spoken. He often says to us, I think, he says, no need for me to speak to you now. You haven't done what I spoke to you in the Word to do. God's not going to reveal to you a bunch of extra stuff to do. You started to do your doing what he commanded you to do in the Bible. Wake up over here, young lady. And look up this way, please. We do not sleep here during church. We look up. We pay attention. And you may as well learn that in your first early days while you're here. I'm simply saying that God says, I want you to do what I've already said to do. And he sometimes doesn't speak because he's already spoken. Far too many people are seeking God to speak to them and not reading enough what God's already spoken. Not enough has been said. Not enough is said about the revealed Word of God. I think this charismatic mess that's going on around the country has caused an awful lot of it. People get all these visions, and God speaks to, so they say, he speaks to them in a spa, and I have a special revelation from God. Well, I can beat it. I got one right here, you see. And this is God's revelation to man, you don't need to have, until you've obeyed what's in the book, don't you try to seek special orders from God. You just obey what's in the book. So God says, I've already said it, and I want to see if you'll believe what I've already said and do what I've already said. And sometimes you wonder why God doesn't speak. Of course, there are times when God's speaking, you're not listening enough and to know that God's speaking. But anyway, God comes along and God, you say, God, why don't you speak to me? And God said, because you're not doing what I've already written to you, I'll speak when you start obeying what I've written. You know, I want to say this tonight. If God never speaks to you again, never, there are enough instructions in this book for you to stay busy till you meet him. We've been swept up by the PTL Club and the 700 Club.
and all this other charismatic substitute for New Testament Christianity. We've been swept up by that stuff. Oh, I hear a message coming. No, you don't. You just ate too many onions on your hamburger last night. You don't hear a message coming. I've got a message right there. If you'll spend as much time trying to find out what God has said in black and white, you'll be a lot better off than trying to seek a bunch of special revelations from God. I think sometimes God does speak to us, but God doesn't speak to us. It doesn't speak to those that do not obey what He's already written. So, I want to say this too. I get a little tired of God being on trial all the time. I get a little weary of God being always on the judgment seat and on trial. If God never says another thing to you, good night, He's given you a book full of things, and that's enough. And if God never does another thing in my life for me, brother, He's already done enough for me to make me love Him and serve Him the rest of my life. If God's good to me today, I'll love Him tomorrow. If God does something to me tomorrow, I'll love Him the next day. God's already, if there's never one more thing in your life that God ever did for you, the fact that He gave His only begotten Son, and the story of this song a while ago, and the fact that God has made it possible for fallen creatures and frail creatures of dust, such as you and I, if God has made it possible for us to be saved, indwelt by His Holy Spirit, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, heaven-bound people, redeemed people, blood-washed people, blood-bought people, if all God has ever done is what He's done up to now, take God off trial. Don't serve Him because He does something today. What has God done for me lately? I'll tell you what God's done for you lately. He's kept you saved lately. I'll tell you what God has done for you lately. Jesus has interceded for you at the right hand of the Father lately. I'll tell you what God has done for you lately. His Holy Spirit dwells in you. I'll tell you what God has done for you lately. He's put you in America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. I'll tell you what God's done for you lately. God's fed you all the food you eat and all the air you breathe. He's given you all the water you drink and all the good things you enjoy are gifts from God. And I just sort of get a little tired of people coming to my office and saying, I'm bitter against God. How in the name of common sense can anybody redeem with the blood of Calvary for whom God gave His Son and for whom Jesus gave His life? How can anybody, recipients of God's amazing grace, be bitter at God? I don't understand it. I tell you why. Because you're so all-fired selfish, you only interested in somebody doing something to satisfy your senses. You want better food to eat, better clothes to wear, better house to live in which to live, better car to drive. And as long as God keeps giving you a little better car, a little better house, a little better food, a little better clothes, then God's a good God. God's a good God if He never gives you another stitch of clothing as long as you live. God's a good God if He never feeds you another bite the rest of your life. God's a good God because God has made it possible for every one of His own people to be redeemed. Heaven's our home. The Bible's our book. God is our Father. Jesus is our Savior. Holy Spirit is our power. I'm saying God has been good to you. And sometimes God doesn't speak because God's already spoken. He said, I've already spoken to you. I've told you what to do. And I'll say it again. If God never speaks to you again in this world, you've got a whole lifetime of orders right here to keep doing and keep obeying. Why does God sometimes not speak? When God doesn't speak, why? Number one, God doesn't speak sometimes because God has spoken. You know what I long for? I long for a church of people someday that just look at the book and obey the book, what the book says. Now, I'm not talking about your little whim about what it says. I'm talking about obey what the book says. I long for people who don't have to have a bunch of extra revelations from God to do what's right. The Bible says do right. The Bible says tithe. The Bible says go to church faithfully. The Bible says be honest. The Bible says be pure. The Bible says be clean. The Bible says be fair. The Bible says be kind. The Bible says forgive. The Bible says love. The Bible says have forbearance. The Bible says it. And get busy reading the Bible and live in it. And live in it and do what it says once you find what it says. God doesn't speak. Number one, He doesn't speak when He has already, sometimes because He's already spoken. And you haven't done what He said to do already, or what He said to do before. Number two, when God doesn't speak, sometimes God doesn't speak because you haven't spoken. I want you to follow this carefully. This lady came to Jesus, but she just came. That's all. She rushed up to it. He answered not a word. I want to make a statement here that's one of the most important statements I'm going to make tonight. Effective prayer is not rushing to God to ask. Effective prayer is asking while being with God. I said effective prayer is not rushing up there, Hey, God, I forgot something else I wanted. Could I come to you? God, he answered her not. That's how she came. He answered not a word. Why? Because she hadn't spoken. And God sometimes doesn't speak because we haven't spoken. We ought to practice the presence of God. You see, if you live in God's presence, it's not God will not be surprised if while you're living in His presence, you stop and ask Him for something. But God doesn't like it when you just rush up to ask Him for something, and then as soon as you get it, you rush off. God expects you to live in His presence, to enjoy His presence. That's what He said in John 15:7, abide in Me, and My words abide in you. Then you ask what you will. But He said, first, live with Me. Abide with Me. Practice My presence. God said, I'll come near giving you something if you hang around Me, and while you're with Me, and while we're together, you ask Me. But some of us, we're not around God, Mr. Wolf. And God says sometimes He doesn't speak because we haven't spoken. That's what it means in Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Doesn't say, rush up to God and say, Hey, God. I'm old Jack down here. And, of course, God called me Dr. House. But I'm old Dr. House down here. And I got something I want. God answered her not a word. Let me tell you how to get things from God, brother, sister. And this is what the Church of Jesus Christ is totally forgotten about. You get things from God when God's not an Aladdin lamp. But He's your best friend. And you live with Him. And you walk with Him. And you love Him. And you talk with Him. And you adore Him. And you worship Him. And you praise Him. And you honor Him. And you exalt Him. You live in His presence. Then when you get to know Him real well, it's just a common thing to say, pass me the bread. It's a common thing to say, God, there's something I'd like to have. God says, what is it, my child? We should be enjoying each other. What is it? I decided years ago, and I put my hand on this book when I say this, and I mean this with all my heart, and I'll guarantee you this is true. I decided years ago some things about priorities as this church got bigger. I decided years ago that I, as the church got bigger, there's some things I'd have to give up. I couldn't do it all. For example, it takes this man his whole lifetime doing nothing but visiting the sick and the folks in the hospital. I had to give that up years ago. Because it absolutely, you just look at this crowd tonight, and we have thousands of people who are not here tonight. And thousands of other people who consider this their church home or that don't come to this church or they members. Family members of our church members and so forth, this good man here. And by the way, only eternity will reveal the good that John Colston has done. Only eternity will reveal. And whatever praise this man gets, he deserves it. Whatever honor he gets, he deserves it. In his field, he has no equal in his field. But I realized there's some things I had to give up. But I've decided years ago that I was not going to give up this. I was not going to give up your God-given right to have a preacher that spends time with God. I promised God that years ago. And I may have shortchanged you somewhere. I haven't shortchanged you as far as hours or work's concerned. I haven't shortchanged you as far as sincerity is concerned. I haven't shortchanged you as far as my love is concerned. I haven't shortchanged you as far as my compassion's concerned. But there are other many ways which I have fallen short. But blessed be God, there's one way. And God knows I'm telling the truth. There's one way. I've not sent you a man up here on the platform to speak for you Sunday after Sunday who's not spent time with God. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joys we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I've told you often about the old man at St. Margaret's Hospital many years ago. In fact, it's been 17 years ago now or more. Old man in St. Margaret's Hospital was dying, and those days the church was smaller and I could take care of it. I went up to the hospital, An old man, 88 years of age, looked up at me, and his dying words were these. He said, Reverend, he wasn't an inner circle member of the church. He wasn't a deacon. He wasn't a Sunday school teacher. He was just a good, solid, a tender, and faithful man of the church. And the old 88-year-old man looked at me, and his last words were, Reverend, I want to thank you that for 14 years you've walked with God for 6 days a week and told us on the seventh day what God told you during the sixth. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever you've got to do, don't you leave off your time with God. And I'm not talking about little 10-minute time to get in your closet and think, oh, get all the things you want. Oh, there's some time when you just say, God, let you and I be together a while. And God said, okay, while we're together and enjoying each other, if you think of something you want, ask me. But God does not speak many times because we have not spoken. We need to practice the presence of God. And that's what it means in Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. God is saying there, God is saying, I want you to want me before you want what I have. Suppose a guy walks up to you and says, and you propose to your sweetheart, and you say, I want you to marry me, and she says, how much money do you have? Now, most of you, if she says that, ask that, she ain't going to marry you, I guarantee you for sure. But how much money do you have? Well, I've got $10,000 saved. Well, what kind of car are we going to drive? Well, we're going to drive a Chevrolet. Well, what kind of house are we going to have? Well, we're going to have a little house, starter house, costs about $50,000 maybe. Well, what kind of clothes are you going to buy me? You'd say, honey, why don't I just go ask somebody else about this thing? I don't want you to want my money. I don't want you to want my house. I don't want you to want my car. I don't want you to want my clothes. I want me. God says that. God says sometimes I don't speak, and I'm not kidding. God said sometimes I don't speak because I have already spoken. I've told you what to do already. And then he said, sometimes I don't speak because you haven't spoken. Let me tell you something, folks. God wants to be your greatest desire. Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is his word. Once his gifts I wanted, now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, now himself alone. All in all is Jesus. Of Jesus will I sing. Everything is Jesus, and Jesus is everything. And that's what he's saying. Listen, God wants somewhere an old-fashioned, separated, decent, honorable, clean, soul-winning church where the people do not rush to him and beg, but where they live with him all the time. Abide, he said, live in me, and my word live in you. Then he said, ask me what you want. He said, I want you to want me first. When God doesn't speak, number one, he doesn't speak sometimes when he's already spoken. Number two, he doesn't speak sometimes when you haven't spoken. Number three, God doesn't speak sometimes when you won't listen. I'll say this. God will not speak words just for your consideration. You come to God and say, okay, young man came this morning to me. Fine fella, love him. Good guy. He said, I came, I couldn't see you last week. I talked to another preacher from the state. And he said to me, I've made a decision about what I'm going to do, but I felt like I owed it to you to come by and talk with you about it. And I asked him this. I said, have you made your decision? Well, he said, yes, I have. I said, then let's talk about something else. There's no need for me to waste my time giving you advice for you to observe. To see if what you've already decided to do is okay. I don't mind you. I don't mean it. I did not say this. I'm not going to be upset with you if you do not seek my counsel. But I don't want you coming by after you've already made up your mind what you're going to do and ask my counsel. And that's what God is saying. God is saying, sometimes I don't speak because I've already spoken. You're not doing what I said to do. Sometimes I don't speak because you haven't spoken. You don't live with me and abide with me. Then God says, sometimes I don't speak because you won't listen. You're not going to do what I say. God knows who will obey him. God knows to whom he can give orders. He knows who will do what he says. But you want God to speak to you so you can consider what God says to decide whether or not you're going to do what he says. And God says, fully on that, I won't be talking to you. God wants some slaves. God wants some servants. God wants somebody to say with Mary, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. But God wants some obeyers. God wants some servants. God wants some bondslaves. Sometimes God doesn't speak to you because God knows you're not going to do it anyhow. Are you? If your advice agrees with his, as somebody so often people say, Brother Hans, I just want to see what you'd say. Well, don't bother me with that. If you need help, I've got enough folks that need help that I can't see. And I'm not saying I don't want to see. I'd love to spend half a day with everybody in this room tonight. But I'm simply saying, you come to God and say, God, what do you want me to do? Let me know what you want me to do, and if I agree with it and like it and it's fun, and okay, I'll do it. God says, I don't think I'll say anything to you. John chapter 8, verse 7, a woman who was in the act of adultery. These fellows caught her and drug her up to Jesus and said, we found this woman in the act of adultery. I can see them grabbing her by the hair of her head and coming to Jesus and said, we found her in the very act. They demanded that she be stoned. Jesus just sits down and wrote on the ground. Wonder why he didn't say anything. Because he knew these dirty Pharisees already had their minds made up. He knew these guys were going to do what they wanted to do. He knew it didn't do any good. And he knew that these fellows wouldn't listen to what he said and wouldn't do what he said. And he said, why should I cast the pearl of my word before swine that won't do what I say? Let me say something, folks. If you'll take the three things I've said tonight and do the first three things I've said, transform your life. Transform your life. If you'll just decide that you'll read this book and everything you see in there, as you see it, if you see it, you will do it. If you'll just decide you're going to do more than come to God in prayer. I used to have a deacon every Sunday. Said, Lord, we come into thy presence. Humble as we know how. Every Sunday, pray the same prayer in the Sunday school class. We come into thy presence. Come into thy presence. Come into thy presence. And one day I punched him in the ribs and said, where you been all week, deacon? Nobody ought to come into God's presence. You ought to live in God's presence. I said a while ago, and I said again, when the day comes where I do not spend time with God and I send you a preacher walks up here on the platform who's not walked with God and not been with God and not poured out his soul to God and not spent his time in the peat patch and not spent his time in the woods, I'll guarantee you, I'll close my Bible and walk out of the pulpit. I wouldn't want a man of God who didn't walk with God. I got a note today, a dear man in our church, and he said he told me he loved me, and then he said something like this. He said, preacher, stay close to God. We need you to. That's a wonderful thing to say. Wonderful thing to say. And you do need me too, and I need you too. But you need me too. And God comes down and God says, I want to speak, but I won't speak because you haven't done what I said to do last time. And God said, I won't speak. I'll be silent because you don't live with me. You don't abide with me. You don't walk with me. You don't delight yourself in me. And he says, sometimes I don't speak because I know you won't do what I say. God needs somebody to be... If you would simply say, whatever he says, I'll do it. And if you would just simply say, what he has said, I'll do it. And I'll abide with him and live in his presence and walk with him. And if you would say, if he gives me orders and commands, I'll do what he says. I'll guarantee you won't recognize yourself in 6 months' time. Why doesn't he speak? Doesn't speak sometimes because he's already spoken. Doesn't speak sometimes because you haven't spoken. Doesn't speak sometimes because you won't listen. Number four, he doesn't speak sometimes when he has nothing to say. He has nothing to say. You know, we're trying to make God speak to us when God simply says, I'll speak to you when it's time to move. Now I want to say this, don't move. Don't move till God speaks. Don't move because you can't find work here or anywhere. Don't you leave this area for work and don't you come here for work. You won't come here for work. But there was a day when you could. Don't you leave anywhere till God gives you orders. And by the way, you don't get orders from God by coming to God and seeing if those are His orders, because you can work up You can work up God's leadership yourself about any place, anything. You don't come to God and ask Him if you ought to stay. You don't have to ask God if you ought to stay. God sent you to a certain place, then He doesn't speak many times because He doesn't have anything to say. Do not move. Do not make a decision. Keep on doing what you've been doing. Do not change until He speaks. And do not let His silence cause you to move. Well, everything's gone bad for us ever since we got here. God must not be in it. Talk to John the Baptist about that. They served him for breakfast. His head, his neck up. Listen, brother, your personal comfort doesn't have anything to do with whether God's in it or not. And your salary has nothing to do with whether God's in it or not. And your employment has nothing to do with whether God's in it or not. I've said this before, but several years ago, we had folks in this area that flocked to Houston, Texas, like it was the Exodus from Egypt. To go to work! Now they're down there and can't find work. Can't find it. You can't follow the dollar all your life. I want to tell you something else, too. Probably the happiest people in this world, people haven't got many of them. God sometimes doesn't speak because He has nothing to say. And if God hasn't said anything, you get to work where you are.
Oh, what's the area?
Well, I don't think this was the Garden of Eden up here. It may be a beautiful area. I don't know. You can't see it for the sun. We may have mountains here. You know, we don't sing beyond the sunset. We sing beyond the sunset. But that's no reason. Look, folks, people are just unspiritual. Carnal. Look, until you don't want to leave where you are, you can't find whether God wants you to or not. Did you hear what I said? Till you have no will, you cannot find His will. Ready to suffer grief or pain, ready to go or stay. Well, you say, how do I know whether I'm supposed to go or stay? Whether He talks or not. He doesn't say go, that means you stay. You've heard me tell about it many times, but I love to tell about it. That guy in the army, the paratroopers with me, I love this story. He hated everything about the army. Hated it. Name was Jack Hyle. And there's another fellow that hated it too, more than I did. Well, at least he had more courage than I did. We had, in one of the general orders for the walking of guard, this is one of the general orders, to continue at the last command until I hear from headquarters. Boy, that'd be a good last verse. Just like finders, keepers, losers, weepers. That's my last verse. But one day, we were doing close order drill. You know, that's that up, two, three, four, column right, march, column left, march, three, march. That's close order drill. He said, forward. The sergeant did. Forward. March. We took off marching. Right beside me was this guy that hated everything about the army. He was a gold brick. He'd talk back. He'd like anybody. And all of a sudden, our captain drove up in a jeep and called the sergeant over, and the sergeant forgot. He was so nervous about the captain being there, he forgot he told us forward march. He was over talking to the captain. We were just marching. Well, we got to the end of the camp. I mean the end of the field. All of us stopped, but the one guy that hated the army so much, he kept on going. He crawled over the fence. He walked out of the camp and walked into town. What was he doing? Obeying the last command until he hears from headquarters. And the last command was forward march. They court-martialed that fella and tried to put him in jail. And he fought it and won the case because he was contending at the last command and he hadn't heard anything else yet. I love it. I love it. Now, that's what you ought to do. Far too many people. I don't like the winners up here. Well, Buster, who does? None of us are praying for sleep.
Well, my arthritis.
I don't care whose Arthur you've got. It doesn't make any difference. Arthritis, it doesn't make any difference. You're supposed to not leave till God, you hear from God. Doesn't say you hear from your backbone. Doesn't say you hear from your spine. You hear from your joints. Hear from God. You say, I might die. Do they die in the will of God to live outside of it? God doesn't speak sometimes because he's already spoken and we have not obeyed what he's written. God doesn't speak sometimes because you haven't spoken. You don't live with him and abide with him. God doesn't speak sometimes because you won't listen. And he doesn't want to waste his pearl and cast them before swine. And then God doesn't speak sometimes because he has nothing to say. God may be testing you to see if you'll continue at the last command. Number five, God sometimes doesn't speak when he can't answer. Did you ever realize what a fix God's in? Here's a basketball game. You got one team over here on their knees praying. And you got another team down here at the end of the court, other end of the court, and they're praying. Guess what they're praying? God help us to win. Guess what they're praying? God help us to win. How would you like to be God? I mean, you're going to have one of those teams, great Christians, and the other's going to be atheists. That's called Hammond Baptist, the atheist. God never helps us to win. Sometimes God can't answer your prayer. Oh, I love this little story. Dr. John Rice said that it hadn't rained down in Murfreesboro for a long time in Nashville area. And Dr. Rice, the great man of God that he is, asked Dr. Rice if he'd pray for rain. I've seen Dr. Rice control the elements. I really have. So they asked Dr. Rice if he'd pray for rain. And he prayed and he prayed. And not one drop of rain came. Not one drop of rain. And they had having church the next Wednesday night or so, and they were having testimony, they're praying for rain. Dr. Rice said, I've been praying for rain. God hasn't seen fit to give it. A little boy sitting out there, a little kid about that high, said, Dr. Rice, I know why. He said, why? He said, because I've been praying it wouldn't rain. I wanted to go to the fair. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. There's a great giant of the faith and little boy, and the boy got his prayer answered. Dr. Rice didn't. Here are two guys at Howells Anderson College, both of them praying for the same gal. It's illegal, fella. She's going to get one of you, and the other's going to live happily ever afterwards. But look, if both of you pray for the same gal, God's got a problem. God sometimes doesn't speak when he can't answer. Illustration. Suppose that Brother Moffat has an appointment to play golf with somebody. They ask him, Brother Moffat, would you play golf with me? Suppose just about the time he's going to go play golf, Mrs. Moffat goes into labor for her annual child. Now, what's Brother Moffat going to do? He's going to play golf, isn't he? But he's going to pray for her while he does. You heard the story, didn't you? I don't usually tell jokes. I tell sometimes humorous things, but no use to tell jokes. But I love this little story. About this lady was at the ball game, and they're trying to have a full house. And the Chicago Cubs are playing, and they're trying to have a full house. It's a big day. They want every seat full. That was the goal, every seat full. There's one empty seat beside this lady. And the usher walked up and said, ma'am, said, who's supposed to sit here? She said, my husband. Well, why isn't he here? We had a goal to have the house packed, not an empty seat. She said, he's not here because he died. Oh, he said, I'm sorry to hear about your husband dying. Yeah, it was his seat, but he died. They said, why didn't you bring some relative to take his place? She said, they're all at the funeral. That's what you call a Cub fan. Another thing you call a Cub fan, idiot, too. But Brother Moffat, he's got a decision to make here. Somebody said, go play golf. His wife said, I'm in labor. He can't grant both requests. Sometimes God is silent because your request is a ridiculous request that puts God, paralyzes God's ability to answer. And lastly, God doesn't speak sometimes when others are asking the same thing. And I simply say this briefly. Sometimes in my counseling during a week, I may have a dozen people come and ask the same question. Or I may get maybe a dozen letters the same week with the same question. Same burden, same need. Well, I don't give those people each an appointment if it's the same thing. I may feel that God wants me to speak on that publicly, and I may answer everybody's question from the pulpit without speaking personally. And sometimes we bombard the throne of grace and ask God for something, and God says, I'm getting so many requests for this, I'll just make a public declaration about it. I want to say this in close. I heard a lady say this one time when her heart was broken, and I prayed for her, and while I was praying, she just interrupted and started praying out loud and screaming. She said, talk to me, God. Talk to me, God. God, talk to me. God, speak to me. Talk to me. And I said, ma'am, you already have. You want comfort, you turn to Psalm 23. You want comfort, you turn to Revelation 21, 1, 2, 3. You want comfort, you turn to Psalm 34. God's already talked. You want leadership, you turn to Proverbs 3, 1, 2, 6. You want strength, you turn to Philippians 4, 13, and Philippians 4, 19. You want food, you turn to Matthew 6, 33, and Jeremiah 33, 3. I'm simply saying God's already spoken. I have enough instructions to keep me busy till I see him. And by the way, what he did for me on the cross, if that's all he ever did, that's enough to keep me loving him and serving him. And any other instruction that I may get from him would just be bonus. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. See, from his hands, his head, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did there such love and sorrow meet, a thorn compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, and my all. He's already spoken. He's spoken enough to where if he never speaks to you again, you got a lifetime of activity and a lifetime of command. And then if God comes along and gives you a sweet little expression over and above what he's already given, it's a wonderful, sweet bonus. You've heard me pray this many times. Many times I've prayed this prayer from this pulpit on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night. Lord, we know you're here. I try, sometimes I forget, but I try never to pray and ask God to be here. Don't have to ask God to be here. He's here. He said, if two or more are gathered in my name, there will I be in their presence. He's here. Feel it or don't feel it, he's here. But sometimes I'll say, and you've heard me pray this, dear God, give us that added bonus of feeling your presence. We know you're here. Now give us the added bonus of feeling your presence. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing wrong with the Christian world and the fundamental world. Couldn't be cured. What I preach tonight, when God doesn't speak, it may be he has spoken and you've not yet obeyed. It may be that you have not spoken and you don't live with him and abide with him and he's not your portion. It may be that he knows you won't listen and he won't cast his pearl before swine or give you his he won't speak to you for your consideration. It may be that he can't speak. Or it may be that he's going to speak to all of us together. Whatever it is, do with Mary whatever he saith unto you. You do it. And God will come near speaking to you if you are busy obeying what he already has spoken to you to do. I've said this often across the country in meetings. I don't find one place in this entire Bible where God revealed his will to anybody looking for it. Not one place. You show me a place in this Bible where God told a fellow where to go who was looking for where to go. No. God comes up and finds a fellow who's busy where he is obeying what God said to do and not even considering where he's supposed to do it. And God comes along and God says, I've got a place for you. You say, oh, Lord, I was busy. I didn't hear. Oh, what do you say? I pastored 5 churches. Never changed churches when I wanted to change. Never have. Ever leave here, I'll never pastor again unless God knocks me down. But I never wanted to change. I never did. 27 years ago last Sunday, today is my first Sunday of my 28th year as pastor of this church. I was busy for life in Texas. There to stay. Never thought about leaving. Never intended to leave. Planned to stay there the rest of my life. And one day, out of the blue, God came and said, I want you to move. You heard me say it. Watching a little puppy dog in a shopping center perform for his master. As the master would hold his arm like that, the puppy dog would jump through his arm. The master would do like that, and the puppy dog would roll over as long as he'd do like that. Tears rolling down my cheeks. I said, oh God, make me as obedient to you as that dog is to that master. Should a little old puppy dog be more obedient to an earthly master than a redeemed one should be to a heavenly master? And then I drove out in the woods. Woods nothing. No woods where I drove. Out in the plains of West Texas, by the side of Fort Worth. I looked over and I saw a tumbleweed. And that tumbleweed would blow this way for a while. Then this way, and then this way. I pulled the car over beside the road and I saw that tumbleweed. And I wept and I said, oh God, I don't want to leave this church. But make me as submissive to your Holy Spirit, your Holy Breath, as that tumbleweed is to the wind. And God led me. And God said to me, son, you're so busy doing what I believe you ought to be doing. I've got a whole Chicago area up there that somebody needs to help reach. And God knows somebody needs to reach it. With all of my soul, I want to pastor the church that does it. I believe we can. I really believe we can. Next year is our 100th anniversary of the church. I'll guarantee you, it's going to be the greatest year this church has ever seen. I've got things planned for next year the like of which this church has never thought of before. I've got ideas and plans and things that God has given me for next year, our 100th year. I'll guarantee you one thing. The Christian world has not seen what I believe God's going to do here next year. If you knew what I'm thinking about, you'd drop dead because you got to finance it. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. If he speaks, that's bonus. If he doesn't speak, I'll just keep on doing what he's already said.